Good morning. Somehow Mission Control landed here on Jupiter. I have no idea why y'all are so calm. That giant red spot is supposed to be a pretty dangerous storm, but you seem all right, so we'll just go with it. Well, this has been an interesting week, and you might notice that I'm dressed a little differently this week. We just wanted to celebrate VBS, and I think I might just do this from now on. Is everyone okay with that? All right, I see some heads shaking. I'll listen to those. All right. Kids, I have a question for you. If you walked into your bathroom and you saw this sitting on the sink, your first thought would be probably, cool. But is your second thought going to be, huh, that's weird? Randomly, a bunch of plastic items came together and made a really cool Star Wars TIE fighter. Would you think that this just happened randomly by accident? Did this guy build it? I'm guessing not, right? You would see this and you would instantly assume, you probably wouldn't even have to think it, somebody put this thing together. Somebody for you painstakingly sacrificed of his time to put together this TIE fighter for a sermon illustration. And a great sacrifice it was. This wasn't play. This was work. This was ministry. I want you to hear that, okay? But when you see something like this, you know that there was a hand behind it. When you look at this building that's around us, you know that there was a team working to put this thing together. When things come together, there's a hand behind it. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that hand that put all things together. We're in the middle of we just started a sermon series we're calling Life Without Limits, The Thriving Church. Last week, we took a look at some warnings about false teaching that can come into the church and how we should beware, how we should have our theological and biblical sniffers attuned to what we're hearing and what we're learning. We need to be listening for sound teaching. We need to be listening for things that are biblically based and things that help us understand the way things actually are. So this morning, through this VBS Sunday sermon message, we're continuing this series. You go to 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and over again, those are the books we're going through during this whole series, Paul is telling Timothy, preach the word, preach sound doctrine, teach truth. We're going to look at one of those foundational truths, what the children just read for us, what they had memorized for us, Colossians 1, 15 to 16. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you in the front, you'll see that there are Bibles right in front of the pew back. And just to help you out, Colossians is located on page 1615, if you have my Bible. But Colossians 1, 15 to 16. We're going to walk through this a little slowly, just so we can make sure we hit the key points. All right? So, Colossians 1, verse 15. He, all right, let's stop there. I warned you we'd be going slowly. We can't pick up in verse 15 with the word he because we don't know yet who we're talking about. So let's go up a verse to verse 14. In whom, all right, that doesn't help either. We still don't know who we're talking about. So we're going to go up to 13. This should be helpful. He, but we should keep reading. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So now we know that the He in verse 13 is God the Father. The Son is the He of verse 15. So we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Right? It's not his last name at all. It is a title. It is a description of who he is and what he came to do. Christ is the same as the Hebrew Messiah. It means the promised one, the anointed one. In other words, the one we've been waiting for. So when I say Christ, I'm talking about Jesus and vice versa. And what has he done? Well, first, he is the image of the invisible God. When God, the Son, came to earth as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, could his parents see him? Could his friends, his disciples, touch him, see him, have conversations with him? Yes, absolutely. He came to earth. God, who is invisible, God who has no form. The Son came and took on form so that we might know him, so that we might see him. But he wasn't just some guy. He was the image of the invisible God. I'm guessing, kids, that your parents at some point have allowed you to have and hold in your hand a nickel. And maybe if your parents are very generous, a dime. Right? What's on the front of a nickel and a dime? A person, a president, a face. Right? The word that we get this image from is the word that in the ancient world they used to describe the striking of a coin. When they put Caesar on the coin, they struck it. They made an icon, the word that we use for image, an icon of Caesar on that coin, an exact representation. An exact representation. So in Jesus, the Son who came, we can see God. Not fully, because God is infinite, but in the Son, in the life, in the teachings, in the legacy of Jesus who came, we can see and know God. Why? Well, I'm going to get to that. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Okay, we definitely need to stop there. If you hear firstborn, what do you think? You think the oldest child in a family, right? So in my family, that would be my daughter, Christina. She is the firstborn of our daughters. But the word doesn't translate fully with all its connotations. When you hear firstborn, and you're talking about a first century Greek, Roman, Jewish context, they could mean a couple of different things. They could mean the oldest son in the family. But they could also mean the heir, the one who stands to inherit. They can also mean the one who stands above the others. I'm saying that because when we keep reading in Colossians, which we're going to do, it doesn't make sense to say that Jesus Christ was born, that he was created. He wasn't first born in that sense. We mean he's the one who stands to inherit. He is the one who is above all others. One of the ways it helps me think about this, if I were to say to you, President Lincoln was born and raised in Salem, Illinois. So when, I think that's right, Springfield, Salem, something. He was in Salem at some point. If I said that, am I saying that when Abe Lincoln was 7 years old and cruising around central Illinois, that he was president? Was he president when he was seven? But I still say President Lincoln was born in Illinois. This title, this firstborn of all creation, he is the firstborn. He is the highest. He was never created, and we'll see that as we keep reading. For by him all things were created. Okay, wait a minute. If Jesus were created, how then is he the one who created all things? Let me double check and make sure I'm reading this right. For by him all things were created. What does the word all mean? Everything. You're absolutely right. If I say, I'm going to take all of you out for ice cream after the service, and Astronaut Jay is paying for it, does that mean everybody gets to come except Kaylee Brooke Albright? No, because she's part of all, right? So Jesus, who is the highest of creation, the firstborn, the one who stands to inherit, he is not created because, this is important, he is God. By him, all things were created. All things. No exceptions. That means that he was never created. That means that he has always been. That means before there was even time, he was. And only one thing can meet that description, and that is God. So by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That's another poetic way of saying, from the very highest things to the very lowest things. Everything you can see, everything you can't see. In other words, everything. Paul is just driving this home. The Son, Christ, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. Everything. He created it. But he didn't create it like winding a clock and putting it on a galactic threshold above a fireplace and walk it away to let it run its course. He didn't do that. He stayed involved. Whether thrones or dominions, well, what does that mean? Is the author of Colossians, is Paul really concerned about the chair upon which a ruler sits? No, he doesn't care about the chair. He cares about what the chair represents. And if you sit on a throne, what does that say? You to man or you to woman, right? It is representing one who has authority. And here we're learning whether thrones or dominions. What is a dominion? A dominion is a place that that person who sits on that throne rules over. Right? Or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So why do you think it is that he's taking the time to talk about authorities and rulers as being created? Didn't he already cover that by saying, by him all things are created? In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Didn't he already cover that? We're wanting to make a point. Every single authority out there, whether it be our president, whether it be our governor, whether it be the Queen of England, whether it be the King of Jordan, whether it be your parents, every single authority out there was created by him and for him. Let's think about that for a second. It's poetic. It flows off the tongue. It's easy to say and it's easy to hear. But there's a lot of weight behind those few little words. He created all authorities. If one created all authorities, what authority does that one have? All the authority. There is no ruler who can outvote Jesus. There is no king who can topple him from his throne. He created all. And I love the words here. I'm going to use a big grammatical word to satisfy grammar nerds and parents and possibly children who are also grammar nerds. And if that's you, yay. Okay? All things were created for him. By him. Those two little prepositions, by and for mean a lot. Everything you see around you, including, by the way, you, he created you. He is the agent of your creation. You exist because Jesus Christ created you. But what's that other preposition? By and for. That is so beautiful. What does that mean? Remember when we said firstborn of all creation? Remember what I said that could also mean? The one who stands to inherit? He is the one who stands to inherit all of creation. And he created all things. And you, and you, and you, and me, we're created for him. We are his inheritance. Think about that. Inheritance is a word that carries a lot of confusion, particularly for probate lawyers. But if you stand to inherit something, what does that mean? You're going to get stuff. You're going to get things. You're going to get money. You're going to get something. So he stands to inherit creation. Us. We are the treasure that he inherits. Have you ever thought about that? You are the treasure. Now, how many of you have heard the very first few words of the Bible? In the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1. This week has been Galactic Starveyors. And we've been looking at what God has done. And looking out into the stars, all of this is his creation. And the stars are mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, in that first chapter where we're walked through what God created. And it's a beautiful chapter of Scripture. And he goes into great detail. Let's look at, for example, the creation of man. Verse 26 of chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Remember that word? We just saw that. "Over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, and I just want to tell you something, from here to here, I'm making sure I'm not including the index, from here to here is God's story about and for us. The rest of the text is about us. So let's turn back a few verses. So that's a lot of content, isn't it? He said a lot about creation of man, and then he says a lot more about us through history. Let's see what he has to say about the stars, because the stars are pretty amazing. Have any of you been able to go camping and go to a place where there's no electricity blinding the sky? Have you ever been able to see that? That's gorgeous. Do you know what that is? What is that? A bunch of stars, but very specific. We are seeing something. That right there is one of the arms of our galaxy. This is a representation of the galaxy we live in, the Milky Way. It's a spiral galaxy, and we live on one of the outermost arms of the galaxy. You are there. I don't know. I just know that it's on the outermost arm, so I picked one, so we'll pretend that that's it, okay? But just looking at that photograph of the galaxy, isn't it beautiful? The stars are captivating. When I am blessed enough to be able to be somewhere where there aren't streetlights everywhere and I can lay down on my back and look up and see the stars, I can just lay there for hours. It's beautiful. So what does God have to say about the creation of the stars in Genesis chapter 1? Let's see here. Verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. And then the next words in your Bible, and mine says, and the stars. In the Hebrew, it's one word. The creation of all this beauty, majesty, incredible. One word is all it gets in the creation account. Why am I talking about this? Because we, as human beings who are created in the image of God, are the jewel of God's creation. We are what the sun stands to inherit. But there's a problem, right? We get confused. Sin enters in. What is sin? Sin is doing something that's not what God wants you to do. Sin is doing wrong. Sin is making a poor choice. And let me tell you, the Bible tells us, and I can tell you from my own life and experience, everyone has sinned. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. And this is bad news. But this week, your children, your grandchildren, people from your community have been hearing about the good news. That the one who created all these stars, the one who created all of us, desires to have a relationship with us despite the fact that we sinned, despite the fact that we fall short. God is holy. What does that mean? He is perfect. There is no sin in him, and he can have nothing to do with sin. And we have sin in us, which means he will have nothing to do with us. But this one who created all things by and for him came. God the Son came as Jesus and walked among us so that we could have a relationship again with God. And how does he do this? Well, God is just. That means sin has to be punished. There is a penalty that must be paid. And each of us deserve the fullness of that penalty. But Jesus came so that we might sing the next song in a minute. Jesus came so that we might know God through him, because he was perfect. And what happened to Jesus at the end? Anyone know? He died. He died. And he didn't die just any death. He was tortured and killed for crime, for sins, when he had committed none. And it's bigger than that. Because he was perfect, and because he is fully God as well as fully man, he took all of our sin, the wretchedness, the guilt, the offense that we've caused against God, and he put it on like a coat for us and endured and paid for. He stood as our substitute to satisfy the justice of a holy God. And in return, for those who believe in him and who confess him and are in a relationship with him, we can put on his robe of righteousness. So when we stand before God, we're not wearing that dark robe of sin. We're wearing the robe that Jesus has given us, and we can stand before the Father, and he doesn't see us in our sin. He sees the beautiful work of his Son. And it's as though Jesus is standing next to us and says, his sins, her sins have been paid for. She's with me. This is beautiful. And this is what the Son stands to inherit. We look at the galaxy and it's so huge. And to think that God, the Son, Jesus, sustains and holds all of this together. This piece of paper, y'all see this piece of paper? This is not a trick question. Okay, I'm not going to do a trick. Y'all see this piece of paper. Let's imagine that the distance between the Earth and the Sun, 92 million miles, give or take a couple of acres, 92 million miles is represented by this piece of paper. That's the distance from here to the Sun. Okay? If that's this, the distance from here to the nearest star, we'd have to stack this piece of paper up to 70 feet. That's this room times at least three going up of paper. That's how far away the Earth is from the nearest star. The diameter of the galaxy, remember that picture, that spiral that we had from end to end? To stack a piece of paper is to represent that. It would require 310 miles high of paper stacked on top of each other to represent that. And this text that your children have been memorizing this week tells us that Jesus Christ created all of that. And if we keep reading, we read that he holds it. He sustains it. By him, all things are held together. Now, if this is what the Son does, you've heard the question, does Jesus live in your heart? Would you like to invite Jesus to come into your heart? When you see that he is so powerful, that he's doing this, is this the kind of person you invite into your life to be your assistant? No. Jesus isn't an assistant. When we read this text, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. If Jesus reigns over everything, if Jesus holds everything in his hand, then everything should be subject to his authority and his rule. He's not our assistant. Is he our friend? Yes, but he's far more than a friend. He is our king. And our king paid the highest price so that we could know him, love him, and have a promise far beyond anything we can imagine. Your children are going to come up now and sing another song. And it's an upbeat song. It's a peppy song. But listen to the words in light of this text. Jay?
All right, so the children have learned about the stars in the galaxy. They've learned how big this galaxy is. And, you know, I look at these kids and I see their stars in their own right. As Pastor Sten Erik said, you ever gone out in the country where there's no light pollution? The stars shine the brightest when it's darkest. And with Jesus' help, we can shine the light of his love into a dark and hurting world. So that's why we're going to end today with the song Stars.
He painted us a canvas, a universe of planets, a picture of his majesty, a perfect invitation. Let's join with all creation and be a light for all to see. We're like stars shining all through the night, shimmering in the sky, showing the world that we love Jesus. Stars burning full of wonder as we are standing under his never-ending masterpiece. A perfect inspiration. Let's join with all creation and be a light for all to see. We're like stars shining all through the night, shimmering in the sky, showing the world that we love Jesus. Stars burning showing the world that we love
Astronaut Jay has lost 145 pounds this week. This takes some work day after day. And those two songs have been the soundtrack in my brain nonstop all week long. But those songs and this scripture and this message is the single most important thing any of us can know. This life, this being able to be stars for Jesus, this life without limits only comes through the Son. So I told you that Jesus came for the express purpose of creating a way for us to be able to know Him and the Father. That's why He came. That's why He died. That's why He paid the penalty for our sins so we could stand righteous. But after He died, He did something very unusual, something that doesn't happen that often. What is that? He came back. He rose from the dead. So do you remember that passage we just read? All powers, authorities, dominions, rulers, everything. Well, He just defeated one of the greatest rulers, death. His resurrection proves sin, what He paid the price for, the penalty for it is death. But through Jesus, there is life. Did Jesus die again after He rose from the dead? No. He is still alive. He is still in the body that He walked in this earth, but now it is glorified and perfect. And He is coming back again to wrap His arms around all those who know Him and taking us into a life without end and beyond imagination. I can't even begin to describe to you what it's going to be like because I can't know because my head isn't big enough to even think about it. But this is not for all of humanity, regardless of who they are and what they've done. It's for those who believe in Him. Those who profess their faith, those who say, this is what He's done for me, and this is who I am because of what He did for me. So this morning, we have many people here, people who have been members and attendees of this church since time immemorial, back when Moses used to go here. We have those who are visiting this church for the first time this week and stumbled in on VBS Sunday. And then we have families who are here with their children who attended VBS. And of course, we have the children here. This morning, I think it's still morning, yeah. This morning, I want you to ask yourself a question. Do I believe? And if this morning, or for those who are involved all week, you were hit by the reality of who we are and what He's done and the beauty of the gospel, I invite you to pray a prayer with me in a moment. I'll pray it. You just pray it in your mind. And if you want someone to talk to, if you have more questions, or if you want to let us know that this morning or this week your life changed forever because now Jesus has entered in, not as an assistant, but as your King, then come up here after the service. I'll be here. Astronaut Jay will be here. Mrs. Heidi will be here. We'd love to talk to you. We'll also have an elder back out that door. There's a room that says prayer room. There will be one of our elders there who would love to hear what's going on in your life and to pray for you. But we want to talk to you. And if you're hearing this and you're saying, yeah, that all sounds good, that sounds beautiful, but no, I don't believe it, I'd love to talk to you about that too. I might even buy you a cup of coffee. If you buy me a cup of coffee, I'll definitely be there. Right? So would everyone please bow your heads, pray with me now.